Hello, hello. My name is Emily, and this is your Creative Break. Today I want to talk about something that I think is often overlooked in the creative process. Sure, we get all of our tools together, we get in the right mindset for creativity, maybe you've set aside some time, or you have a whole day ahead of you where you can just be and be inspired, but I want to discuss and maybe shed some light on what I like to call the creative ritual. And before you get too spooked, there isn't too much woo about it apart from just taking a moment and checking in with yourself. But I wanted to share my creative ritual and perhaps invite you to discover your own. Now, when I say ritual, I simply mean the things that we do to get ourselves into the mind and the headspace of creating, the way we set up our environment, and the way that we check in with ourselves to make sure that we are prepared to sit down and actually do the work that we want to do. So I think of a ritual in this context as both inviting in and clearing out certain energies that may rob us of our spontaneity, our creativity, for lack of a better word, and that allow us instead to lean into the inspiration, energy, vibe, flow that helps us dig deep into those parts of ourself, our psyche, our mind, that give us permission and even give us sort of out-of-body experiences enough to create. So that's about as meta as I'm going to get about it. I think, you know, on its surface, a creative ritual, creative setup is really just allowing ourselves to come to the table or the desk or the floor and think about how we want to show up for our work. So, do you have a ritual? Is this something that you take the time to do beforehand? And if not, is there a reason? Do you feel rushed? Do you feel like you can only create in these tiny little pockets where you just have to hurry up and do it because your life is calling? And if that's the case, then I think you may want to consider what it is that you're trying to accomplish or achieve through these sessions, these downloads, these outputs. And if coming to a space and relaxing and expressing yourself is accompanied by a sense of rush or a sense of guilt or a sense of awkwardness, then perhaps setting up a ritual that gets you in the right state of mind is just what you need to begin to have a relationship with your creativity. And if you've never thought about your creative ritual, or you don't think you have one, I would say you probably do have one, but it might not be serving you the way that it should be. So let me tell you what I do when I want to be creative. First, I kind of decide during either the week or maybe that day, maybe I have a little bit of time, but I make a decision prior to creating that I have enough time to do it. And so those of you that do visual art, especially painting or something that requires a lot of setup for your materials, or even bullet journaling that may require lots of different pieces, it's not feasible for you to do this just really quickly on the fly. You know, some of us are fortunate, I think, again, poetry. Those of us that write poetry, it's really easy. You just whip out your phone or a notebook or something very quickly and can jot it down. Writers have that privilege. I think even songwriters can, you know, get down the lyric or the melody that's in their head fairly quickly. But for those of us that have other kinds of creativity, cooking, for example, requires a lot of materials. You're not just gonna throw that together. So I think a lot of times there is a little bit of a time requirement. And if you can think about, usually it takes me this much time to really get into the moment, then make sure that you have that much time before you get started. So for me, I will look ahead in my planner or in my calendar and see, okay, I do have a little bit of time, or I'm able to carve out some time, or I'm able to move something around. Because again, we do want to prioritize ourselves. Sometimes I know our schedules are so busy and our lives are so full. And even in this crazy year where we had different kinds of time, maybe not as productive, but even when we had different kinds of time, or when we were staying home, or when we were sort of adapting to the new normal, it wasn't always the case that that time was productive time. And so make sure that if you have decided it takes you about an hour to do something meaningful for your work, then make sure you have at least an hour. Don't disrespect yourself and your creativity by only giving it 30 minutes. So that's my soapbox. I will stop lecturing. But the next thing that I will do is I'll make sure that the mood is set. So I like to light a candle. I kind of always have a candle going, and I think having the scent of something that I enjoy, having that little flicker, maybe just outside of my eyeline, just it feels very warm and cozy. I like to sort of set up my space in that way, but you can always use an aroma diffuser or incense or whatever makes you feel good, just setting up your space to be cozy and inviting and therapeutic in that way has always helped me. And then I get a big old glass of cold brew. Cold brew is my, I won't say my only vice, but probably my biggest vice. So I usually don't do any kind of creating without coffee if it's in the morning, or tea if it's at night. I think having a beverage of your choice, maybe it is a grown-up beverage, that's fine too, is a really wonderful way to make it feel like you're taking care of yourself on top of taking care of your creativity. So I just want to make sure that I have those two elements set up. And then I try and clear my visual line. So if I'm sitting at a desk, I like to make sure that there's nothing else on that desk that is a distraction. So I do a lot of my work at the table. I'm sitting at the kitchen table right now. So I've got my typewriter. I have a couple small piles of things that aren't too distracting, little projects I'll be getting to after I record this. And I like to just make sure that whatever I can see on my table, and actually I'm facing the wall, so I can't like look out at my house and see, I'm like, oh no, I need to sweep later or vacuum. But I like to just kind of make sure that what I can see is either taken care of or isn't a big responsibility. I would say like if you are in a space where you're facing your kitchen and your kitchen is a hot mess, it's going to be really difficult for you to get into the zone. And so that's all we're talking about, really, just getting into that headspace where you can find the part of you that wants to start talking. Whether you talk through writing, you talk through art, you talk through, you know, the process of cooking or dance or gardening or whatever it is that you use to speak your deepest, most authentic truth, we have to kind of get there. And I call this a ritual for me because I feel very strongly about it in that sense. Like when I light this candle, when I get this coffee, when I sit down, whether it's at a computer or at my bullet journal or at my typewriter, I am in a space that is different than when I come to this table and sit down for a meal. I'm just in a different mindset. And that's really all we want to be able to do, is turn on and off that light in your head. I also think of it as like entering different rooms in your mind. So I just like to enter that room where all of my passion and all of my interests and all of my spark is housed. And when I go into that room, I have the right mindset, the right heart rate, the right everything in order to tap into that power. So, you know, very, very gravitas Obviously, if you're the kind of person that just grabs a beer and starts writing, awesome. I envy you. I need a little bit more preamble to do that. So if you don't have a ritual or a process or a self-care routine for creating, I would encourage you to think about the things that you do in your day-to-day life that make you feel either relaxed or calm or in control. It might be as simple as just going into a room in your house with a door and closing it. That could be a ritual. That might be the only thing you need to do, is just shut out the part of your life that's crazy and move into a different pace. Maybe that is setting up a desk in a room that is just yours. You know, Virginia Woolf wrote that, she wrote that a woman, but I think in this case, an artist needs a room of their own in order to create something with a door, something that you have control over, something that belongs to you. I really definitely ascribe to that. In my case, my whole apartment is mine, so I get to kind of do with it what I need, but not all of us have that much space or that much control. And so for you, your ritual might be just finding a spot in the world. Maybe it's not in your house. Maybe you go to the local library, shout out to libraries, and you have your desk or the little cubby desk that they have in the back that is your favorite one, and you set up the things you need to set up and you get going. There's no reason that it has to be in your own home. Maybe you go to a park, maybe you take a walk. Just something that gets you into the mindset. So the next thing I kind of want to acknowledge is getting warmed up for what it is that you're about to do. So for me, if I'm going to be doing writing, and especially writing for a project or something a little longer form than just my little typewriter poems, I tend to start with a preamble or a little exercise or something that gets me into the rhythm of creating. And so a lot of visual artists will sketch something out, just make sure that all of their materials are ready to go. Some people will take notes or do part of the work on a separate, you know, piece of paper, a separate surface, so they don't ruin the thing they're about to do on a canvas. Whatever it is, I like to just do a little bit ahead of time. And that sort of gets my gears going. It gets some of the gunk out of my brain so I don't have to do, you know, maybe my least impressive work on my most important canvas, if that makes sense. And so for me, I will do one of two things. If I need to write a poem or I need to write a piece that's very important, first, I will write a postcard to someone. I love postcards for this because they're so short and it just kind of gets my brain in that mentality. They're never very good. Shout out to my poor friends who receive my garbage postcards. But I use this as a means to just get in the mode of writing. And so if you're a visual artist, maybe you doodle. If you are someone who cooks or who dances, maybe you do just a small version of what you're about to do. But I think a lot of it, and for us, then the writing community, you know, writer's block, ugh, so awful. I hate it. I hate writer's block. I hate the idea of writer's block. I hate thinking about it. I won't talk about it anymore. But for those of us in the writing community, there's this big fear that you're going to sit down and nothing will come up. And I've had days like that. I've had years like that. So I know enough about myself to say, okay, sure, this big project that I've been mulling over that I need to do, that my deadline is approaching. Oh, my deadline. And I need to do it right now. This is the only day I have. Instead of coming to the table, literally my table, instead of coming to the table with that much pressure on myself to perform, because that's what it is, pressure to perform, I will do something in the same category in a different direction with no pressure. So I will write my friend a postcard. I will write a little poem that doesn't matter. I will maybe practice a little bit of hand lettering And that way, I will have kind of gotten myself going. And the other side of that, that I think is really important, is you've already accomplished something, right? So if I write a postcard and it's done, I'm like, okay, I did the one, I did something. Maybe I didn't do the thing I needed to do, of course. That would be too easy. But I've accomplished something that makes it easier now for me to move into this next project, the important project, having already done something and finished it. And so I think of that like if you've ever made a checklist and then you're like, oh, but I already did this before I did the checklist. And then you write something on the list that you already did and you cross it out and you're like, yes, I crossed it out. That's the same concept, that like you're giving yourself a little win before you really need to do the big thing. And the momentum of a small win, oh, so awesome. One of my favorite things. So if that's part of your process or part of your ritual to give yourself a small win before you get to the big stuff, I think that that is extremely powerful. It's similar in like big group projects. If you ever had to do like the icebreaker, which is awful and I hate them so much, but if you ever had to do the icebreaker, there's a concept behind that. You have this tiny little social interaction win that you've already achieved. Look, we learned something about each other. We've already talked, we've laughed. Now we can get to the big stuff. That is an extremely powerful concept. It's worked for many, many years. That's why we all have to do it. It's cringy, but we do it. And so for me, writing a postcard, writing a little poem, doing something that I can check off of my mental list is a really big deal. I also have a couple of favorite playlists that I play in the background. So I really love lo-fi music, and there's just about half a billion of them are pre-made playlists on Spotify. And so I like to have music going, not very loud, just loud enough that it fills that silence. And, you know, if you're a snacky kind of person, have a snack nearby, but not too distracting. But I think for me, having some of my other senses kind of satisfied helps with walking into that space, entering that mental room where I keep all of my creativity. And in doing so, I kind of invite my best self to show up and give. And I'm not saying that it is a perfect process. Sometimes I sit down here with my coffee and my candle and I just kind of zone out. And maybe that's what I needed that day. But other times I really find that having the process of and having a ritual of sitting down and creating is some of the best medicine for my writer's block, some of the best, you know, resolve for the times that I feel awkward or I don't know how to work through a problem or I feel like maybe I don't have anything important to say. So now that you know this, and maybe you never thought about having a ritual, maybe you don't have a ritual, maybe you want to have a ritual, who knows? Now that you know this, I encourage you to kind of take a look around your life and see if there is something that you can add to your process, that you can add to your creative space. At some point, we'll talk about creating a creative space. Something that you can do that gets you into sort of a fruitful state of mind. I think there's a lot that we can do, a lot we don't talk about as far as getting ourselves into that positive flow of energy. And maybe you wake up in the morning and you water your plants and you sit down and you listen to your favorite song and that gets you into that headspace. Maybe you go for a walk in the morning and see what you can see, observe, enjoy, get into kind of a brighter sense of yourself and then move into creating. I have no idea. I think we're all different. And I think when we tune into ourselves and we tune into our creativity, there's something there that's asking to be quenched before we can go and make something amazing. For me, it's cold brew, 100%. If I do not have coffee, nothing is happening today. I think I'm on my second glass. But I would encourage you to go out into your space, go out into your community, go out into your world and see, is there something that I can do to help me get into this mental plane? And if there is, I would encourage you to give yourself permission every time you sit down to be creative, or stand up or jump up to be creative, that you do those things, that whatever your version of lighting a candle, getting some coffee and turning on lo-fi music is, that you do that. And if you do it every time, you will find that you're able to tap into that mental realm quicker and quicker, that there's less awkwardness, that you are tuning your body into a frequency and saying, this is what we're doing right now. And the muscle memory of that is going to be astounding. I hope this helps. I hope that you do something creative today. I hope you tap into the magic that's in you to give and shout out your authentic self. And if not, if that's not something you have on your radar yet, maybe just give it a thought. What makes me happy? What makes me inspired? Maybe it's watching somebody else do the creative thing you want to do. Maybe it's a study of somebody else's work that gets you into that space. Whatever it is, I encourage you to answer that call in yourself and really listen. Listen to what your mind and your body and your heart are telling you about how it wants to show up to that table and create. This has been a creative break. Whether you took a break, you had a breakthrough, or you want to break something, I am with you. I appreciate you listening. I'm so grateful to have you and to share this part of my life with you. And after this, I'm going to sit down here with my candle and my coffee and probably write some poetry. So I hope today brings you all of the inspiration that you need to get going on what makes your heart sing. I'll see you in the next one.